Morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Perek Gimel, the third chapter of Direi Yomim Beis, the second book of Direi Yomim. Our Perek is 17 psukim long, and it is really the unfolding of the building of the Beis Hamikdash. For the next few chapters, we're going to be learning about Shlomo Melech's building the Beis Hamikdash. This is the much anticipated moment, because David HaMelech spent really the end of his life building up towards this. Now we see it actually happening. The parallel parashios, or parakim to be found in Tanakh, are Melachim Aleph, Perek, Yevov, and Zion, 6 and 7. And it should be noted that the version that is presented here in Direi Yomim is somewhat summarized. So we're not hearing all the details. It's much easier to read it here than the complexity and the details and the many more things that are addressed in Sefer Melachim. So our first two psukim of Perek describe how Shlomo HaMelech started to build the Beis Hashem, the house of God, on Har HaMoriah, which was appeared to David, his father. David Melech prepared this by the plot of the Goren, the granary of Arnon. And it's described that in the second month of the fourth year of his kingdom is when he started building this. We should note over here that there's a convergence in history here, in the sense that now we hear the convergence of the story of the Akedah, where we hear about Har HaMoriah, and Goren Arnon are the same place explicitly in the text here. It's also interesting to note that how is it that he found this exact place? So the Da'at Mikra points out, Rav Yehuda Kiel, that is because, just as you remember, at the end of David Melech's life, when he had the census, and there was this plague, there was this apparition of this angel above this particular area, and when he built Mizbech and brought a sacrifice, that's when the plague stopped, indicating that this place was special, and God Hanavi gave him the exact locations of everything. So that's how he knew it, and that's what this pasuk's referring to. The Malbim says that, in fact, when it says Asher Heichin David, that Heichin b'mokom David, that the place that he prepared, it means that David HaMelech made the foundations, which means that he dug down and he created what's called the Shisin of the pipelines that were underneath the Mizbech, where the libations would be poured as well. Why was this chosen as the right place? Why, in fact, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this place? Very hard to know, but the Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah suggests that this was the only hilltop in Israel which was not used as a shrine for Avodah Zarah. So it was still pristine. The Abravanel says that may be true, but that's a negative reason. A positive reason is we all accept that there are certain places where Hashem's imminence is much more clear, that Hashem's Hashkocha, His providence, is right there more than other places, like Israel, in respect to the rest of the places and the countries in the world. Hashem is obviously more imminent there. So similarly over here, there's a greater saturation of Hashem's presence in this place, more than any other place on earth. Why did it take him until the fourth year of his reign to get this all going? David HaMelech had set everything up. So Abarbanel famously says that he wanted to make it out of for his own money. There's numerous reasons or hypotheses one could suggest for that. One might be that the money that David HaMelech amassed was from wars. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to start off on himself by himself. This is why it took 4 years to amass the necessary money to be able to start it on his own. We now hear about the Beis Hamikdash, and we hear from Sukkim Gimel to Zion about the Ulam and the Bias. These are the two parts of the actual structure of the Beis Hamikdash. Just to understand things in greater context, there are really three parts to the Beis Hamikdash, or the actual building of the Beis Hamikdash, not the surrounding, not the courtyard, but the three parts are the Ulam, which is the antechamber, the Heichal, which is what we call the Kodesh, where most of the implements go, which are the menorah, the menoros, the multiple menorahs, the shulchanos, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden Mizbeach. And then there's what's called the Devir in Sefer Melachim, or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the innermost sanctum. So the way it's understood over here in the dimensions, using Melachim to fill us in and using the measurements presented here in Direi Yomim to complement each other, the footprint of the building is 60 by 20 amos, and there are three chambers. The Ulam is the first chamber, which is the antechamber, which is 20 amos in width, 120 amos high, very, very high, and only 10 amos in depth. So it's a very small but very tall antechamber. Then there's the Heichal, which is the main chamber, which is 20 by 40 with a height of 30. And we're going to then get into the Devir, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is a smaller 20 by 20 by 20 room at the end of this progression. We're told in this section that the inside is lined with cypress wood, which is gold-leafed, and embossed on it are palms and chains. So beautiful descriptions of what is in here. There are also precious stones adorning the walls on the inside, and we hear about angels also engraved on the doors and the walls as well. So it's a very, very beautiful description that is rendered over here. We next hear about the Kodesh HaKodoshim. By the way, just coming back to the dimensions for a moment, is that the general height of the building was 30 amos, 30 cubits high, but the front, the antechamber, the small antechamber, was really essentially four times that height. So it was extremely, looked like a tower, but that was only the first chamber. Now, sometimes we are a little confused because we see pictures of the second Beis HaMikdash, what's called the Temple of Hurdus, of Herod, which was revived and replenished by Herod at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. And so a lot of the pictures of the Beis HaMikdash that we see are replications of that, replicas of that. Whereas with the Mikdash Rishon, the first Mikdash, operated a little differently. And two of the ways of noticing that it's a picture of the first Beis HaMikdash rather than the second Beis HaMikdash is the great height of the first chamber, how tall it is. It was excessively tall. And number two is the pillars in front of it. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now we look at Pesukim Ches to Yud Dalet. And in this section, we hear about the Kodesh HaGadoshim. So we hear that its dimensions are 20 by 20 by 20, which the Meforshim point out in Sefer Melachim means that it had a aliyah. It must have had some sort of attic above it, because the height of the building at this point is 30 amos, and it is only a box of 20 by 20. And we hear about the beautiful engravings on the wall, the special gold that was used around the wall. We hear about the angels which are made. Now, we're used to thinking about the angels which belong on top of the Aron. That may be true, those are still there, because the Aron was in the Kodesh HaKodashim. But there were another set of two angels, which were much larger angels, which were made, which rested on the floor. And in this section, we hear about their wing breadth. So each of their wing breadths was 10 amos, with two wings, which meant to say that if they were standing next to each other, the wingspan reached tip to tip and tip to wall on either side. So it's spanning the entire distance of the Kodesh HaKodashim as well. Then it describes that they were actually facing Pneim El Habayis. Their faces were to the house, meaning to say gazing towards the entranceway. So which way is it or not? So the Abarbanel now points out that it means to say they faced the entrance where people would enter. So they were sort of at an angle looking at the person who would enter the Kodesh HaKodashim as well. The Gemara Bava Basra famously notes that if you do the math, the assumption is that the wings come out of their backs or out of their shoulders. So if you do 10 and 10 in the wingspan, there's no space for their bodies, because their body has to have a space in between, which is one of the fascinating things about the Kodesh HaKodashim, is that regular aspects of physics, of measurement, don't work in the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's a wormhole, essentially. It's the portal of between two dimensions, the physical and the metaphysical, and that being the case, certain aspects of physics start falling away as the metaphysical is imminent. What is interesting is that the Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in the ninth chapter of his Shar, within our first Shar, explains that in the desert they needed two smaller angels on the Aron, and they were pure gold. Why? Because at that time they were living a very supernatural life. They weren't looking for food, they didn't need to go to the restroom. It was purely a spiritual meditative space for 40 years in the Dor Dea, in the times of the desert. However, at the times of Shlomo HaMelech, people had land, they had farms, they raised families, they built homes. So the Krivim, representing the people, were in fact made of wood, but covered with gold, meaning to say they weren't as pure, but they were bigger, meaning that it's now a nation settled in the land, so it was the wood, so to speak, the complexity of life covered in gold. And so the Nefesh HaChayim asks, but you notice that there is a discrepancy, and the Gemara picks up on this. Were they facing each other, or were they facing the house? The Kruvim on top of the Aron faced each other, but the Kruvim that were on the floor actually faced at an angle, the Gemara points, sort of to themselves and sort of to the door. Why is that? So the Nefesh HaChayim points out that at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the times that Israel were a nation, were a state, they were a country, they had more complexity, so the Bnei Israel weren't able to focus on Hashem all the time. It just wasn't the reality. They were kind of focused on the door, so to speak, reality outside, and Hashem. So they were at an angle. Now, famously, the Gemara says they would pivot at different times, depending on the relationship. But at the default, they were at an angle, so to speak, somewhat looking at each other, someone looking at the door. And the Nefesh HaChayim points out an interesting thing. Surely Hashem's angel, the one reflecting Hashem in the relationship, should be still looking at us, and we should be looking at an angle of the door, because we're the ones distracted, not Hashem. And he points out, though, Hashem tzilchal yadiminecho, Hashem is the shadow, which means that Hashem follows the cues that we set. So ultimately, we were more distracted, we were living in a more distracted time by necessity. So Hashem also was, so to speak, more distracted, was also focused outwards as well. Just some first thing to understand this. We then hear a pasuk describing the paroches. It's made of blue, purple, and crimson yarn, mixed with fine linen, and also angels described on it. Anytime there is a change of dimension between one section of Kedusha and another, there is usually an angel. So the on top of the kapores, separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kedoshim, and separating the Kodesh from the other areas as well. It's interesting to note that the Aaron is not mentioned in this section. We'll hear about it a little later. And finally, we hear the conclusion of the Perek is Psukim Tesvav to Yudzayin, where we hear about these two pillars, these colossal pillars of 35 in length. There's different measurements of how tall they were, but they stand on either side of the entrance of the Ulam, of the answer chamber. And they have these beautiful crowns. They're made of copper. These beautiful crowns which have pomegranates and chains around the top of them that rest upon the top. A very beautiful introduction. And they're each named. One's on the right, one's on the left. And the right one is called Yachin, and the left one is called Boaz. So why is it that they are named? Why is it that they're there? It should be obvious to us that the reason why they are here is a form of preparation, almost like an oracle of reminder to the people as they enter or pass by the Mikdash. So what is that reminder? The Radak says most simply in Sefer Melachim that they are to give people chizuk, to remind themselves before entering the Mikdash. Yachin means the word hachana, preparation, and Boaz means strength. So meaning to say they can find strength, Boaz, in it is strength when they do the Avodah properly. So it's a reminder of what is supposed to be done here. The Ralbag says, Ralbag Gersonides, of course, being an astronomer of world fame, points out that there's actually four quadrants of the day, and that each of these relate to a different time marker as it relates to the flora of the world, not the fauna. The fauna doesn't always notice the sun cycles, but the flora does. And they are represented in this, in so to speak, the structures of Hashem running this world. The Vilna Gaon explains that maybe they represent the sun and the moon, maybe the two dynasties of Yehuda, Peretz and Zerach, Zerach from the sun one, of course, shining. It could be mitzvahs asei and loisa asei. Positive and negative commandments are represented by this. Those are the two values we hold strong. And the Malvim suggested, just from different suggestions, that Hashem interacts with this world in two ways. One through nature and one by subverting nature, through miracles, right and left, mashpia and makabel, output of energy and receiving energy. And he goes on to describe that 18 amos, which are described in Melachim, are the 18 vertebrae of the spine, between the 18 links between this world and the upper world. So there's a lot of Kabbalistic wisdom there as well. It's worthwhile noting how much the Yachin and Boaz are part of our culture. Oftentimes we don't notice it, but if you look at the paroiches of classic old traditional shuls, they'll have usually two pillars, and upon those two pillars are resting menorahs. Oftentimes in the shire, in the gateway of a sefer, if you turn to the beginning of a sefer, they'll have two pillars, and those two pillars are usually the Yachin and Boaz of entering that sefer. In fact, the pirush of Tiferes Yisrael, Rav Lipschitz, divides his pirush into two pirushim called Yachin and Boaz on the Mishnayos. So it's very much in part of our culture, which relates to these two pillars that Shlomo HaMelech created upon entering the Beis HaMikdash. With this, we close the parak, and we will continue with parak Dalet tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.